Hello, welcome to another episode of Vibing with Jules. I am your host, Julieta Raoul, and our guest today is Sidonie Warren. Sidonie, I will allow to introduce herself with her all the parts of her entrepreneurial journey because it's an extended one. Sidonie, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. A little bit about myself. I'm a wife. I'm a mother of three. And as far as my entrepreneurial journey goes, I'm a visual artist. So I started off just self-taught painting. And I also learned some graphic design through studying at SAIT and Alberta University of Arts. So the painting and graphic design came together and I was able to be a muralist in the city. So I've been doing that since about, I would say 2019 was my first mural, and then I really got popular during 2020. And since then, it's just been just gaining momentum, and I've been just working nonstop since then. I'm also a pageant queen. It was honestly just a vision board idea one year, and I just went with it. So I was Mrs. Calgary 2020 and 2021, yes. And I am currently Mrs. Canada Globe. So yeah, that's a bit about me.
Wow. My goodness. Sidonie and I, we go back a while. And my first real view of you was seeing you always sketching. And I remember saying to you, I need you to do, you know, some sketches for me and do some work for me before you got famous.
Yeah.
And you chuckled at it. Who would have known right now? Yeah. We're sitting talking to, you know, Miss Entrepreneur, and really proud of you. Congratulations. I mean, yeah. Those are amazing accomplishments. And the beauty of it is you had a vision board, but this wasn't exactly the vision, was it?
Not quite. I did not know that things would go this far. I think it was kind of like the perfect storm when everything happened, because I think at that year I'd really decided to go fully into the art thing, and I decided, okay, I'm going to go to school now after being self-taught for so many years. And I had this whole plan to be a graphic designer. That's actually what I decided to study at art school. I was like, I already know how to paint. I'm going to do graphic design. Mm-hmm. That's safe, right? And then during the summer of 2020, I had had this idea that I'm going to get this job as an intern in graphic design. It's going to be great. But of course, lockdown happened. Mm-hmm. So I pivoted and I'm like, okay, I'll try to be an artist influencer online. So I just kept, every day I would paint something and post it, like every single day, paint all my content and show people my process.
I remember that.
Yeah. And I think during that summer you hired me to do your mural.
Yes. Yeah. Was that your first mural? Or
that wasn't my first. My first mural was actually the summer before. I had just found on Kijiji this local church was hiring
an artist in residence.
So I did that mural, and it's funny because now I can do a mural in like a few days, but back then it's like I had to take the whole summer to do the mural.
I remember watching you do the mural, and it took you 10 hours, and it has been such a, to this day, it is just a topic at the salon. And thank you for that. It's actually been part of my motivation every day. And so that mural, every mural you paint, you're an artist. But I don't think you understand from our point of view what you're doing for us. And I will tell you, for me, what you did, I got talked into doing that mural, actually. Mm. I didn't think it was a good idea to put my face on the wall. I'm like, who am I? I'm no, you know?
Yeah.
Not that I'm nobody, but you want to put my face where? No, I'm not that
It's very
person.
Bold.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, but I was told you have a brand and this is a good idea and no blank walls. But when you painted and captured, you didn't just paint a mural. You captured essence of who I am. The eyes, they speak, and your art literally comes alive. We've seen the ones that you did at the Deerfoot Mall. That was amazing that you did the collaboration. And also during the lockdown, there were the artists that collaborated on Center Street.
Yes, yeah, that one.
How long it took y'all to do that one?
You know what? That one was a lot of planning, and the actual execution only took about like 7 days or so, because we had volunteers too, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't take that long to actually complete it. And then luckily for me, I was newer to the scene, but they paired me with like somebody who was also more experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So like during that, I got to learn a lot about like process and just how to do everything pretty much. So
what was the biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge, I think like kind of when you're like thrown together, like when we didn't apply together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an artist team that applied, and then I applied, and then they said they're going to choose two people.
Okay.
So then it's kind of like the three of us together. So then we have to figure out how to work together.
Of course.
Yeah. So, which we managed. At the end of the day, we kind of figure out a really good system and figure that part out. But I think just being, what's the word, like synergistic as a team of people who just never knew each other before that moment, I think that was probably the hardest part. But we managed to just like work each other's styles into the painting, and everything turned out great. So, yeah.
And that's the beauty of creativity. You had that in common.
Yeah.
So that alone brought you all together, and the rest is just to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. And I think too, in the planning stages, we did like mood boards. Mm-hmm. So we could see where each other was coming from before we actually started making designs. Yes. And I think it put a lot of people at ease, because looking at each other's styles, we're like, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
But then looking at our vision, it was similar.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Collaboration always, you know, it comes through when there's a common goal.
Yeah.
Tell us about how did you figure out, you're self-employed and you teach, and yet being a pageant queen, there are different demands,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you feel a pull when sometimes the two of them needs you at the same time? Like the artist is needed, but the pageant, how do you navigate through there?
Well, for me, it's actually not too hard, just because I do make my own hours.
Okay.
So the only time that it's difficult is like, let's say if I had a deadline, then it would be hard. But usually like with the pageants, the way it goes, they usually ask you to volunteer, and then you could say if you're available or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like pretty flexible. And even now what I'm doing, I'm actually working in the art into the pageant thing. That was like my whole spiel about, you know, my cause for the pageant. So we have to raise funds for mm-hmm. the Wynn Foundation. So I'm like, okay, well, I think I could maybe raffle my art and just work that into the
nice.
The whole pageant thing, which they love, because, you know, it's different, and, you know, they want to show people's talents and, you know, show diversity. So
what's the most fun part out of all of this?
I think it's that I'm able to, I spend as much time with my kids as I can.
Nice.
And I'm able to do what I love. So it's nice. Like I don't feel that guilt that I used to feel when I used to work a conventional job.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I could work around their schedule, so I could pick them up, and we'll do dinner, we'll do all that stuff. After bed, I can work. And while they're at school, they can work. So before, it's like I kind of felt like I barely was spending time with my kids, because I'm spending the whole time at work. And then when I come home, it's like just a few hours before bed. And then I'm like, okay. And then back in the morning, you're back up at like 6 a.m.
And the grind.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like I'm able to get a better work-life balance. And yeah, it helps with the mom guilt a lot. So, yeah.
That's really good. The thing is, my favorite word in this entire journey is the discoveries, you know, and I like being a witness to part of your journey. It's quite intriguing. Because I cannot even wrap my head around it because it's not my kind of a journey, but it is quite inspiring. You are inspiring. I love hearing you speak. I love when you do, you know, the talks and the posts. You have a light about yourself. And it's really good that other entrepreneurs get to see that. And so being an artist yourself and having such diversity in your art, not just drawing, not just painting, you have the murals. And to scale to the point that you are now an award winning in Alberta, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's an accomplishment, and it shows others that, you know, don't limit yourself. Mm-hmm. What areas did you find you limited yourself that you had to grow the most in all of that?
I feel like the biggest challenge I had was just like fear and like self-doubt. So just fear of like failure, of like, you know, just flopping, and then just doubting that I could really be who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's just like you wouldn't even try because you're like, oh, that could never happen.
True.
But as soon as I decided that this will be me, then things just started to change and fall into place. And I started recognizing gifts that I had. When you said that I have a light, I noticed that people are drawn to me for some reason. I'm like, I don't know why, but people like me. So
you're likable.
I don't know.
That's
like,
why you're here.
I would just walk in a room and people will be interested in me. I'm like, okay, I'll just use that to my advantage with even just my presence online. Like I think I don't have that many followers, but I would say like 80% of my opportunities just come from my Instagram, just people looking on there. And I don't feel like I'm doing anything that different, but I don't know.
You may not think you're doing something different.
Yeah.
But I can tell you personally that you're a natural at being you. Your doubts don't show, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I've heard that before, which
they
is
don't.
Funny because I'm like, I doubt myself so much.
And the same thing happens with me. And I kept being told, you're so bold. Oh, my gosh, how do you do this? Yeah. And so I think it's a measure of faith. You know, that scripture that says, you know, Lord, I believe, but, you know, help my unbelief. And I think it's an oxymoronic behavior that we have all the time. I do believe, but how much belief do I have? Because yeah. I'm still doubting. But we're moving in spite of the fear. And I think that's what you're speaking to. But there's a natural, you know, there's a natural characteristic. You know, it's something effortless about you. You've always had it, you know. There's an inner beauty about you that just shows. And I always say that. I say she's beautiful in and out effortlessly. And it's true. It's honestly true. It's not because I see you, but because I've gotten to know you. And thank you for even just allowing me a glimpse into your journey. One of the things people don't understand is that fear, it's real. There's a fear about coming here and sitting here to talk with me.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, you know somebody, but it's like, I'm putting myself out there. There's a fear of me launching a podcast, you know, but then I keep reminding myself what I was taught to experience. And through those who know better than me, is somebody not going to like it, but you're going to just keep moving anyway because it's going to impact at least one positively.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to move in spite of it. And that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a place to congratulate yourself. We have to learn to say, I did it in spite of. But, you know, those who are afraid to show that fear, what would your advice be for them to push past that and not look at others as competition or as a reason not to?
I would say, like, anytime I'm afraid to do something, I just think of, like, what would be the worst thing that could happen. So for me, sometimes it's like, okay, I want to do something else in my business, And it's like, okay, I have to put some money in this. So I'm like, how much money am I willing to potentially lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I also think about, like, well, no, I can't lose this money. So I'm going to have to do whatever it takes for this to be successful.
Yep.
So I'll go the extra mile. I'll put out the ads. I'll do everything to make sure, like, this is going to be successful, because mm-hmm. I just put it in my mind that I can't lose. And then, yeah, usually you just end up winning. I mean, even when I went to art school, it's funny because one of my teachers, and she didn't mean it maliciously, she was just saying to one of the other students, like, yeah, it's just very rare for you to even work in your field at all. And just most artists, like, don't work in their field, and they'll just be usually having another job, and that will just be their practice that they do on the side. So, yeah, which my peer just yelled explicitates at that moment.
I can imagine, how dare you? Yeah. You failed me already.
Ah, I can't do anything else than this, though. And I've already, you're already in it, right? But yes. In my mind, I'm like, no, because there's successful artists out there. So why not me? Why couldn't that be me, right? Like, mm-hmm. I must be that one. If the rest fail, I'm going to be the one. So I just put it in my mind, and just having this, like, long-term goal of where I want to be, it always is in the back of my mind. And it does come with goal setting.
Yes.
And things like that. So, yeah, I would say set your goals and then make yourself determined to win, no matter. If one thing doesn't work, you pivot and do something else to make it work.
Yep. You got to be flexible.
Yeah.
Because, we talk about planning all the time, but don't be rigid.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to give. And it's just part of life, because then everything else around you will find, there'll always be distractions and discouragement. But you got to let that little fire that's in there, you got to keep that going.
Yeah.
What's your, we know art is your passion. What's your hobby?
My hobby, okay, so... I like to dance. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I'm awkward, right? Remember when I came to your
you
birthday?
You said that
and
before.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So I was tired of, going to parties and being like that.
Yeah.
So in the last 2-3 years,
mm-hmm.
I've been going to dance classes, off and on.
Oh,
and,
nice.
I've learned to just shake my butt a little bit. I took twerk at first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I'm black. I need to know how to do it. Like, come on, man. Right. So I learned that first. I'm like, okay, now I'll learn some choreography, because
mm-hmm.
it took me forever to even memorize choreography and perform it at the end of the class.
Yes.
Usually in the class you have to perform, and it would just be horrible. And then I've been working on my choreography now in dance hall class, so I'm still learning
look at you,
my own cultural dancing and stuff. So yeah, that's my hobby, I guess.
What made you feel you couldn't dance? What caused the awkwardness?
You saw
But the thing is, there's nothing awkward about you, though.
I was awkward growing up. I was always awkward.
And I think addressing the awkwardness, because I was awkward growing up.
Yeah.
I was extremely awkward. But I had this, I remember feeling I can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was always the environment always shut it down. Like, don't you dare try that.
Yeah. I had that feeling as well.
Yeah. Like, if I tried,
or if I did something outstanding, somebody would kind of poke or make fun of it. So I was like, ah.
So you discouraged yourself because it would go wrong.
Yeah.
And dancing growing up, I was not allowed to.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. I grew up old school, hardcore Pentecostal. So
mm-hmm.
you do not. It was all secular music, because in church dancing was not proper.
Yeah.
And so whenever you dance, it was not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like God gave us rhythm.
Yeah.
So it's nice that you found your groove.
Yeah.
And
no, at our church, we were allowed to dance. One of the girls would choreograph the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all do it and perform it at our banquets and stuff like that.
Oh, that's good.
And I was always a stiff one. They're like, you're stiff.
But I don't think you're stiff in body. I think what it is, you discover you're stiff in your mind.
I thought I was not stiff. I'm just like, what do you mean by that? I don't know. So,
and the whole time you were not moving.
I guess not. I didn't know how to do big movements,
I found when I started, when I moved here, and I started dancing, I allowed myself to just let go. It was so freeing. Once you start discovering that I have a thing about salsa, and I've always wanted to do the classes, but I decided, you know what, I'm not about to add another commitment on my list of things to do. But it's something I want to do one day. And I would just do the casual just things. I'll just go crazy, put the music in my ears and just plug it in and just let my, and it would be a workout. Just let my body go and just, it's fun.
Yeah, it really is freeing too. Especially like the twerk one too, because it's like you feel less awkward about looking
sexy. I'm not
sexy
doing that.
It's funny too, because my mom actually came with me the first time.
Wow.
I know. I know.
That's pretty cool.
And it was like, it was a little awkward, but it was cool that she came.
Yes.
And yeah, it was just, you're all with all girls, so nobody's really like looking at each other, judging each other. And then, yeah, you learn some moves or whatever.
That is, you know, I love that. And these are the things that keep us going. Because when the stress comes, there's always something to stress about.
Yeah.
But why always have that to focus, right?
Yeah.
And so with all of the journey, that laughter, I always say to my clients, I say, what's life if you can't laugh a little? And
yeah, exactly.
You're so crazy.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm just like, you just got to be able to laugh. Let go of those healthy, you know, just let the healthy endorphins just, you know, just roll through your body so you can come back to the serious moments, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell somebody came to you and said, you know, I like what you're doing and I want to do that, but I don't have the talent. How do you guide somebody who is misguided in their mind, but haven't sorted their own skills?
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to art, I'm sure you've heard the term like art is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to talent, like I definitely think you should work on your skills, which if you just draw consistently for a year, you will see a world of difference. That's what I actually did to teach myself to draw. Mm-hmm. So I was always like pretty good at art, like better than average, but I had never taken an art class or anything. And then when I decided, okay, I like art, I drew like consistently for 1 year and I was able to like do realistic portraits and things like that. So I think, okay, first of all, draw realistically, try to draw representationally for maybe a year or so. And it'll improve your skill, improve your eye. And then you can start to use like other tools to help you. Like we use like grids a lot of the time to help transfer. You could use projector if you want.
Wow.
Yeah, like some people, a lot of people do that. Actually, I had to do that yesterday because I have a deadline. So.
And you got to do what you got to do to
I gotta
get you through,
I gotta
right?
Do.
One of the things that, you know, you just learn about yourself is you don't know, like you said earlier, you're not sure what you're capable of until you just allow, you know, the exploration of that journey. And then I remember when you discovered your signature in art because you always had the skill. You were always doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a portrait of me that you had done. And then you said to me when you had to do the mural, you said, I have my signature, which I'm going to do this one in.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were so pleased with it. You know, you did not have to do any major corrections. You're like, oh, I'm actually happy with this.
Yes, yes.
Right? Because the first one was, the lines were clean. It was perfect. Everything had to be. But by the time you came back, you had an abstract look to it. How did you discover your signature from clean lines to abstract? Because that's quite a jump.
Well, first when I was just like learning to draw, right? I'm trying to learn realism and then I'm like influenced by a lot of people online. Like Instagram inspired me to even start drawing. So
nice.
Yeah. So I'm looking and everyone's doing hyper realistic. So in my mind, I'm saying, well, if I can do hyper realistic, that means I will be a good artist.
Mm-hmm.
But then I noticed that this type of art that I really loved was not exactly like fully realistic.
Okay.
And it actually became like very boring and time consuming for me to do realistic portraits. So it's like I would spend like maybe 18 hours on a portrait.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And you're like mixing little, like each color like individually and just do, and then you mix another one and do. So it became like tedious, boring. And then it was basically like the copy of a photo, which it's like, well, what's unique about this? I could have just had a photo, right?
You didn't feel your creativity was
I didn't feel as creative as I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, like I knew what type of art I was inspired by, but I actually got this job at an art studio, and this studio allowed me to kind of explore because I would learn different projects to teach the kids and mm-hmm. stuff, and they would also teach a little bit of art history in there too. So then I try like all these different ways to paint, and I try to just like throwing paint at the canvas, like making drippy stuff, like,
and you
just
figured it out.
Yeah, so I would try that, then I'd go home and then I would, you know, start painting. And it's funny because I used to like spend hours just sketching out my outline, mm-hmm. and I let go of the outline and I was like, I'm not gonna, if I mess up, I'm just gonna go directly to paint. If I mess up, I'm gonna fix it with paint.
I get that.
Yeah.
I saw you do that.
Yeah. And I was just free from then because like I didn't have a plan going in. I don't know what it's gonna look like. And I just started doing it and just let it flow. And then from there, that's when I was able to develop like a style that I like and start, you know, mixing in different techniques and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Even recently, I had to kind of go back to that not sketching, but because I'm a muralist, I have to plan everything out like mm-hmm. to the T. Because
yes.
if you show a client
heights,
something,
yes.
that's what they want.
That's true.
Yeah. So I've been doing that for 3 years, planning every single painting I've
that's
ever
awesome.
Made. Yeah.
I can't believe it's 3 years already.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no. It's 4 years. Okay. It's 2024 now. So yeah, I've been planning every single painting, like down to the drip to tell them, like to show them, okay, this is what it's going to look like. So then when I go now, I want to make some smaller pieces for mm-hmm. like maybe gallery exhibitions, things like that.
Nice.
It's like, okay, I don't want to plan out every single thing. I want to be free again. So
you have all the different steps.
Yeah. So I just kind of like let go again, let myself be free again. And then I can bring it back together and like tighten up and plan something. So, yeah.
That's good because it gives you times where you just have structure mm-hmm. and it gives you times when you can just let it rip.
Yeah.
And that's really good.
Yeah. It's definitely, planning has made me very efficient. Mm-hmm. So I can make like a painting in a very short amount of time. But sometimes I kind of enjoy like messing up and fixing and, you know, enjoy the process. So, yeah.
I like the parts where you always get to fix something too. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hair, like I always say, I love, my favorite is lock repair. Of everything yeah. else.
The transformation.
Yeah. There's a satisfaction in the work. There's a satisfaction in bringing it back to life or getting it back to your vision. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that same contentment.
Yeah.
You know, oh my goodness. It's like we used to think that art was just drawing something. I used to say I can only draw stick people. Mm-hmm. But then you don't realize art is so diversified. You know?
Yeah, I consider hair an art.
It is.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How we wear it, what we choose, the colors, all of that stuff. Mm. It's all art. Art is, we live
art. Even when you're mixing color, it's like mixing paint. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I see a lot of parallels. So.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
What do you want to share with us with your, how do you manage health? How do you, body image is one of the biggest things right now. Mm. And with being a pageant queen, it is definitely, there are, say there are those out there who are looking at you as, oh, I want to look like her. Mm-hmm. How do you speak to the self-discipline of, you know, you being yourself in that industry? Because there's such a stigma of how you should look, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that. What would you say to those who are looking at you so they know that you're not just following a pattern or following somebody else, but that your authenticity and your health there?
You know, it's kind of weird because I like pageantry is very effortless for me. So I don't do anything at all to fit in. I of course put the dress on and the makeup and everything. But as far as my look goes, like, I was never a model because I'm not like tall or anything. So growing up, I was never a model or anything like that. It was really like when I was 26 or 27 that I got signed to an agency. Mm-hmm. I swear, it's like all of a sudden everyone's like, hey, you're beautiful now. So, Yeah. So then I'm like, oh, interesting. And then when I'm doing pageantry, apparently I'm like the perfect pageant person. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. They're like, oh, your shape is perfect. Don't lose any weight. Like, you look great.
Just be you.
Yeah. Just be you. Yeah. The only thing, like, they want the just really glam type of look, glam hair, long, big hair.
And that's cosmetics. That can go on. But
that's all, yeah.
Yeah. So then the thing is, you're just being you.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, dieting to look a certain way.
No.
You're being you.
But they have different categories.
Yes.
So if you are on the bigger side and that's something you want to do, they have a curve category.
Yes.
If you're older and you want to do it, there's an older category. Yes. So, like, I'm in, like, the married category, mm-hmm. which I'm glad because, you know, when you have babies and stuff, the stretch marks and everything.
The body's different.
I can't be in the bikini. Like, you know, I'm young enough, but I can't be in the bikini. So
I like it
works
that.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's good. I like that. I like that authenticity in there so they can know, you know, be your own person. Don't follow somebody else. You know, don't be in one category and wish you were in another.
Exactly. Go where you fit in, because there's now it's way more diverse. Like before, things have changed a lot. So even with modeling,
mm-hmm.
like there's curved models and stuff too.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're just generally good looking, I think you could do it. Just apply. Just try out, right?
Everybody's good looking.
Yeah.
You have to see in yourself. Beauty is not how you feel. Beauty is how you feel about yourself.
And you'd be surprised, too, because they're looking for different looks. Like, they don't want the same exact look.
Good.
Yeah.
So know that you are unique. Know that you are authentic. Love yourself as you are. And you're a model just for life.
Yeah. Even my agency, they're like, if I straighten my hair, they're like, can you have it curly for this shoot? Because they want curly hair.
They want
like,
you.
Yeah, they want...
They want you.
Yeah, they want like the most natural version of you.
I like that.
So, yeah, even... Because I do commercial modeling. It's not really runway or anything mm-hmm. like that. So they're looking for people who look like everyday people.
Nice.
And they want you to be like fully, like naturally you, like the... Big hair, like no lashes. Like they're like, don't tweeze your eyebrow. I still tweeze my eyebrow. I'm sorry, I got it.
That's okay. There are certain things you do that for yourself.
I got to do it.
There you go. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Those are choices, you know, and that's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say, like, if anyone has that as a passion, just go ahead and apply and don't be discouraged if they don't get back to you right away. It takes a while.
Mm hmm.
But as far as pageants go, you could just sign up right away and just do it if you want to.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. It's very inclusive now. So
nice. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This has just been, you know, so much fun. I definitely not going to be trying the twerking, but
I think you would like it.
Maybe I can already do it. But it's been a definite honor and a pleasure having you here. Thank you for taking the time to join us. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our viewers?
What could I say that doesn't involve dates? Okay, I would say, check out my Instagram at Sid the Artist on Instagram. Also follow me on Instagram at Sidani Warren if you want to see my pageant journey. And also you could visit my website, sidtheartist.ca and theartiststudio.ca. On the Artist Studio, I actually sell take-home kits so you could learn how to paint at home. So check that out.
Yeah. And then we will be seeing you soon, because you are going to be doing some more artwork with your... I think you're starting to do different artwork. You do the... color by number pieces.
Yeah, I do. I was doing workshops, but I'm kind of wanting to pivot to just virtual.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they can still just get your art and then do. Okay, good.
Yeah. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
And see what you're up to.
Gonna go for the first virtual workshop.
Oh, nice.
I think
congrats.
Probably just in a few months, I think we'll go for that. And,
okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe, share, and add your comments. And Once again, my name is Julia de Raul, your host of Vibing with Jules. And remember, excel with those that are excelling, or just simply get out of the way and let them excel. We'll see you next episode.